Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The right to bear arms. Until recent years, this concept was as American as apple pie. There was a reason our founding fathers made that right the second one behind the freedom of religion, speech, the press, assembly, and the ability to petition our government. The debate has been going on for a number of years as to just what the Second Amendment means. Maintaining a well-regulated militia, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Those concepts seem pretty cut and dry to me, but unfortunately not for others. Within hours of the school shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, there was a call for more gun laws. Let's just ignore the fact that existing laws were broken in order for the shooter to even obtain his gun. But the cries are getting louder. President Obama has issued executive actions. The Department of Justice is encouraging city mayors to pressure Congress to pass gun laws, additional gun laws. Senator Dianne Feinstein has introduced another assault weapons ban, including making magazines over 10 rounds illegal. Senator Harry Reid has said this bill and bills like it will go nowhere, but is that just a smokescreen? I don't necessarily trust Harry Reid. My guest today is Matt Barber, who's with Liberty University and Liberty Council Action. I believe that's what it's called, right, Matt? What do you do down there in Lynchburg?
Yeah. Well, I'm Associate Dean at Liberty University School of Law, and then I'm Vice President of Liberty Council Action, which is Liberty Council's C4, our public policy wing.
Okay. So you're busy.
They give me more work than I can possibly handle.
Yeah. Now, on January 11th, you wrote an article for WorldNet Daily entitled Civil Wars of Bruin. And, of course, that has to do with the shooting of Sandy Hook and the resulting calls for additional gun laws. But exactly what did you mean by Civil Wars of Bruin?
Well, first of all, let me say, as you alluded to in your opening monologue here, you mentioned how every time we see one of these horrible tragedies where a criminal who is already violating the strict gun control laws, for instance, there in Connecticut, where a criminal murders somebody, steals that person's guns, and then goes on a shooting spree, kills innocent children in this case, a horrible tragedy. We see the left begin chomping at the bit, almost drooling. They cannot wait to exploit these tragedies to try to do what they've always wanted to do, and that is just to take scissors and cut out the Second Amendment from the Constitution. They can't do that. The Second Amendment is unequivocal, it's clear, and it's just unconscionable that they continue to do this, but it shows where they're coming from. But what I meant with my title, Civil War is a Bruin, is the reality that when you come in and start in a lawless manner, threatening to violate individuals' God-given constitutional rights, rights that, you know, our founders said were self-evident and given to us by our Creator, the Second Amendment, the right to defend yourself being foremost amongst those, they didn't place it number two on the list, right behind, as you mentioned, free speech and freedom of religion, expression, the press, and so forth, for no reason at all. The Second Amendment, in large part, is there to ensure and protect our First Amendment rights, our larger freedoms. And any time a government reaches the point where it is reaching the level of tyranny, then you risk a revolt by we the people. At this point, it's a civil war is already playing out, and a civil war of ideas. Right. There are no shots have been fired, but I would hate to see them take this too far, bridge too far, because there are people here in the United States that would stand up and defend their rights to defend themselves, and that may actually end up being pretty ugly.
Yeah, and I mean, I believe wasn't it Jefferson who said that basically governments needed to be replaced occasionally. That's definitely a paraphrase, but that was the idea that he was alluding to.
Well, absolutely. It's basically saying that if we get to the point where a government is becoming tyrannical, then we the people can overthrow that government and replace it. That's what the revolution was all about.
Exactly.
That's we did that with the crown. But the founding fathers, this notion that that the Second Amendment is for, you know, to provide pea shooters for squirrel hunting, mm-hmm. or, you know, this idea of a militia, yeah. a well-regulated militia. Our founders were clear. George Mason, for instance, said, I ask, sir, what is the militia? It's the whole people. Mm-hmm. To disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them. Absolutely. So that's what we're talking about here, that to undo the Second Amendment unconstitutionally and to disarm we the people is to enslave we the people. And these government despots in Congress, these hard-left despots like President Obama, understand that.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And the media is right on the same path as he is. I mean, they're just as far left as he and many members of Congress are. We have to just look at history, like in Germany, Soviet Union, Hungary, and countries like that, where, you know, there's been the gun registry, and you had to register all your guns, and then came the confiscation. And then came the millions who were killed because they could not defend themselves. Everybody had a gun. Practically everyone had a gun when this Second Amendment was written, and many people had to go hunting anyway. So the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. I mean, they're trying to make this appear to be the Founding Fathers only intended for the Second Amendment to deal with hunting. I mean, that's what our Senator Bob Casey said when this all started, about the time that Obama, you know, issued his executive actions. Senator Casey said that he respected Pennsylvania's history when it comes to hunting, their right to hunt. But the Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. They're totally distorting what the Second Amendment means and what you said George Mason said. That means it perfectly.
Well, exactly. And they were clear. And when you read the Federalist Papers and throughout the writings of our Founding Fathers, they were universally on the same page. And they were clear that the weaponry that we the people should have access to should be that commensurate with the level that the government has in terms of technology, the technologies of the time, and so forth. Now, am I saying that we the people have a right to a Black Hawk helicopter and, you know, a bazooka or grenade launcher or, you know, anything like that? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that, you know, this notion of assault rifles, these are weapons that are just designed to be, you know, easily held. These aren't fully automatic weapons, as you hear the left screaming and yelling. No, it's not about squirrel hunting, and the Founding Fathers were clear on that. It's about the right to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. So I prefer this to call, instead of calling them assault weapons, I prefer to call them defense weapons. That's what people are running around with in Switzerland. Everybody in Switzerland is armed and carries arms, and look how low the crime mm-hmm. rate is there. And we see that where people have an easy carry conceal access in states like Florida and elsewhere, once very liberal in the right sense of the word, access is achieved, crime rates plummet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Australia, I think just a little over a year ago, confiscated guns, or I think it was a gun buyback, required gun buyback. Everyone had to turn in their guns, and their crime rate has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Even crimes using, even crimes with guns, with firearms. I mean, because the bad guys are going to get the guns. No matter what kind of laws are passed, the bad guys are going to get the guns. They'll figure out a way to get those guns. And, you know, like you're saying, talking about the AR-15, that AR does not stand for assault.
Assault rifle.
Yeah, it doesn't stand for that. It stands for the company that made the rifle itself. So they're totally distorting the entire debate. And one thing that really concerns me, here in Pennsylvania, over Philadelphia area, of course, but I think it was a fifth grader, took there are a couple incidents. One was the girl took, I think it was a kindergartner, took a bubble Hello Kitty bubble gun. and threatened to shoot somebody, and the little kid got suspended. And the other
got
one was
suspended from school, which confused me, because my understanding was that all liberals run around armed with pink, yellow, kitty bubble guns.
Yeah.
But that just shows you the knee-jerk overreaction. High schooler getting suspended for drawing a gun, a kindergartner for pointing his finger at a friend and saying bang. When I was a little boy, everything was an assault rifle. We made, you know, sticks into assault rifle, you know, I mean, it's absurd.
It is.
But all we need to, you know, Chicago represents mm-hmm. the microcosm. You want to see what gun control, strict gun control like the left has in mind, and the results that ensue, just look to Chicago. Oh, that's what they have in mind. That's what they want for the rest of America. It's frightening. The old adage is, you know, it's a cliche, but they say if you know, guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. Mm-hmm. Well, cliches
Absolutely.
Become cliches because they have an element of truth mm-hmm. to them, mm-hmm. and Chicago is the case in point.
Yeah. because they definitely do not have an absence of violent gun crime and murders using weapons. And in Connecticut, even with Connecticut, they have strict gun laws and see what happened there. And it's the bad guys that get the guns. Now, do you think, as we're listing these incidences in school where students are suspended for pointing their finger and saying bang, or bringing a Hello Kitty bubble gun, or drawing a gun, and the resulting suspension of those kids, do you think that is part of a plan to place fear in those kids, fear of guns in those kids, so that eventually American citizens in the future will see the quote-unquote need to get rid of the Second Amendment because everyone's afraid of guns?
Oh, sure. The left is, a hallmark of the left is propaganda and is in indoctrination. And so that type of level of political correctness, it's put in place for a reason. It's in part, yes, I think, to frighten children, to make them fearful of weapons, even those, that are properly used and mm-hmm. with proper gun safety training and so forth. They want to make them seem, but more than that, it's to stigmatize even playing like you have guns. It's to, and really to emasculate our boys.
That's
true. The left is so adept at that, in turning our boys into little sissies.
Mm-hmm.
That's because they're trying to create an America on their own kind of emasculated sissy self-image. And so that's what we see happening in the schools. They don't want little boys to be boys. They want little boys to be girls. They want little girls to be boys.
Mm-hmm.
In the
right, so, like with the military.
They want to cut out all gender roles unless mm-hmm. they can flip-flop them. But that's the point. Yeah, they're trying to stigmatize guns and the Second Amendment, and they're thinking down the road because you have to get a hold of the minds of the children in order to own the future.
Right, absolutely. And, in the past, schools, I think it was even New York City, I read, I don't know whether it was Walter Williams or I don't remember who it was, but wrote an article where even in New York City in the early 1900s, their schools had gun clubs where the guys would bring their rifles into school and they check it in at the office in the morning. And then after school was out, they go to the office, pick up the gun, their rifle, and then they go to gun club. That was in the early 1900s in New York City. So as we've seen more gun laws being implemented, especially in urban areas like Chicago and New York City, we've seen increased crime. So I know this is a dumb question, but can't these liberals see that? Can't they make the connection between increased restrictive gun laws and an increase in crime? They're not connecting the dots, but the left never knows how to connect the dots.
No, they don't, because they live in a pseudo-utopian world that is far removed from reality as the East is from the West.
Yeah.
The logic, reason, causation, and correlation don't play out in their twisted mindset. So no, that's why you get people like President Obama saying, obtusely, the answer is not more guns in the schools. Well, boy, wouldn't it have been nice if the PE coach and two or three of the staff or faculty there at Sandy Hook, once they heard that first shot, if they had went to their gun safe in their office and pulled out their AR-15, would there still have been lives that have been lost? Perhaps, but who knows how many lives they could have saved. Well-trained individuals trained for that kind of situation where you have drills and so forth. Of course, more guns in the right hands in our schools is the solution. People there to defend themselves, as they say, when seconds matter, the police are there in minutes.
Exactly.
And this is when seconds matter, the people who are there on the scene need to be able to defend themselves, and not by grabbing a pair of scissors like Janet Napolitano suggests.
Or, and my whole thing was after stories came out, after the shooting where, teachers gathered up their kids in the classroom and locked the door. I'm thinking, you're locking yourself in a building with a maniacal gunman. That's not what I would have done. I mean, that's what they were trained to do. They follow procedure. That's what they were trained to do. If there's a situation, lock the doors and gather up the kids and have the kids be quiet. But yet, a lock on a door is not going to keep a gunman from entering that room. All he has to do is shoot off the door handle, begin with anyway, because the outside door to the school was locked. And what did he do? I think he shot through a window and accessed the building that way. So there was a situation just recently in Atlanta where what you're saying happened. There was an armed resource officer who was able to stop a situation that could have gotten much worse. Only one student was shot, was not killed, but was shot. And the resource officer was able to get that gun away from the 14-year-old who had gotten it through a metal detector at the school door, somehow got it through the metal detector, and had the gun in the school. But an armed resource officer was able to stop what could have become another school tragedy. So looking at what President Obama has proposed, just what can he do constitutionally when it comes to additional gun laws, additional gun control type ideas he has?
Well, what can he do? Nothing. Under the United States Constitution and under the law, but that hasn't stopped him from trying. With a slew, I think it's 23 through executive fiat, these executive orders that circumvent and trample over the United States Constitution. His actions are clearly unconstitutional and despotic here, yet that doesn't seem to slow this president down, because he does not view the Constitution as something to work within the framework in order to further freedom and individual liberty. He views the Constitution as an encumbrance, something that he has to get around or trample over in order to further his radical, quote, progressive agenda, and that agenda cannot be rammed through in a constitutional republic following constitutional measures. So he's going around the Constitution through executive fiat.
Yeah. I found it interesting that one of the executive actions was to clarify that no federal law prohibits doctors or other health care providers from contacting authorities when patients threaten to use violence. From what's taken place, it seems that they are encouraging doctors to report people who, may talk about, being violent in some manner. But beyond that, it's almost as if they are going to use the mental health, since that was the issue in most of these shootings, actually, not only Sandy Hook, but in most of these shootings, it has involved a mental health issue. And in some cases, over-medication or the type of medication these kids have been on has contributed to the crimes that they've committed. But it appears that if anyone has any type of a mental health issue, that is going to be used, even though it's been dealt with, it's been taken care of, and it's years past, something that happened years ago, it may be used as a means to prohibit that individual from legally obtaining a gun.
Sure, but it's a little more sinister than that. My understanding is, and I haven't found the exact language yet, my understanding is that in Obamacare, the language itself encourages doctors to ask children about guns in their home and whether daddy uses a gun or shoots a gun, if they've ever felt unsafe because of the gun in their home, and so forth. I mean, this this creepy
crazy
big brother kind of stuff. And so, of course that this is all about. They're going to try to, nobody. I mean, it's all about being reasonable here. No reasonable person should say that if a doctor, somebody alludes to the fact that they may commit a violent act, that doctor should not report the person to the proper authorities. Of course they could. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is big brother encroachment on individual gun owners and families, and using children as pawns. And this is creepy, Saul Alinsky kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, and even some of that is already in these annual school, at least here in Pennsylvania, these annual surveys that are given to kids, school safety surveys. I forget the exact title, but one of the questions is whether there's a gun in your home. So, they're already doing that, at least to a limited extent, as far as using kids for pawns, and not only the gun issue, but other issues, but it's already out there.
Yeah, that is a gross overreach.
Yeah.
How dare you ask my child if we have a gun in our home for safety and for protection? Because, hey, guess what? A big part of having a gun in your home when the bad guy tries to break in is the element of surprise.
Yeah.
I think it helps to maybe put this gun is insured, or this home is insured by Smith & Wesson
on
the door. That might make...
I have an uncle who did that. Yeah, right. Yeah,
that'll certainly make a burglar think twice before he breaks in.
Absolutely.
But nonetheless, that is not the place of the school to step in and start asking children about guns in their homes.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So what can we, and again, it's the law-abiding citizens who are being targeted with Feinstein's bill and with what Obama wants to do and what, the DOJ pressuring the mayors to put pressure on Congress about gun control, because that's what this is, gun control, national registration, and that's the stepping stone to confiscation of our guns. So what can we as law-abiding citizens do to maintain our Second Amendment and to give Congress the message that they need to keep their hands off our guns.
Absolutely, and what we're doing is working, because as we mentioned earlier, the left always oversteps. They've overstepped again, and even Forbes magazine came out with an article saying that the NRA is winning the messaging battle here on this gun control, which they've, in their euphemistic Orwellian way, they've recouched it and rephrased it as preventing gun violence. So
yeah,
they'll no longer use gun control.
Yeah,
but let your congressman know. Let your senator know. Let your local municipal elected officials know.
Okay, local sheriff.
Exactly, mm-hmm. that you will not have your Second Amendment rights trampled.
Okay, and in one thing, we need to call our especially our local sheriffs and see if they would, if our local sheriff and or his deputies would confiscate our guns if the order came down.
Right.
And we need to know just where they stand, because that's who would be doing it, more than like here in Pennsylvania anyway, be the local sheriff. So,
and a lot of sheriffs are refusing to do that if it does happen, which is good.
I think every single one in Utah, I think, already told Obama, we're not doing it. Plus, they're the ones across the country, but I know Utah's definitely come up. And I know there's one sheriff over in Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania, who wrote an ordinance. The borough council unanimously passed it, but it's basically an ordinance that says that we will uphold the Second Amendment.
Amen. Yeah, you know, and that's within their right mm-hmm. to do, because they swear, when they put their hand on that Bible, they swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Right.
And when the executive, when the president of the United States is grossly violating mm-hmm. the Constitution, their duty and loyalty should be keeping with the Constitution,
Absolutely.
Not with the president.
Right, and I don't know about other constitutions, but the Pennsylvania Constitution also specifically gives citizens the right to bear arms. So this sheriff over in Schuylkill County used the U.S. Constitution plus the Pennsylvania Constitution and the citizens' right to bear arms when he wrote this ordinance. So how can...
That's the way you beat a bully. Yeah,
that's true. That's very
stand
true.
Up to him.
Absolutely, stand up to the bully. So how can folks contact you if they want to get a hold of you?
We're sending people to our new website. It's libertycouncil.com, and it combines Liberty University, Liberty Council, Liberty Council Action, all together in one kind of clearinghouse. So it's libertycouncil.com.
Okay, libertycouncil.com. Okay, and I do encourage folks to do that, and also encourage folks to contact their state, especially Senator Casey. He just doesn't get it. And Pat Toomey is more in line with what, you know, where we need to stand to protect the Second Amendment, but Senator Casey does not get it. And also contact your congressman to see where he stands, and also your local sheriff, and see if they might consider contacting the sheriff over in Gilberton Borough, Schuylkill County, to get the language to that ordinance and possibly have their local municipality or county pass such an ordinance to protect the Second Amendment. But I appreciate all the work you guys do there at Liberty Council and Liberty University and the School of Law there, preparing the future attorneys to defend our not only our Second Amendment, but all the other amendments in it to defend the entire Constitution.
Well, thank you, Diana. Thanks for all that you do.
Okay, well, you take care, Matt.
You too now.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.